From the WGBH Radio Newsroom in Boston, I'm Jordan Weinstein. Well, they arrived to Boston fitting in on a bus, a train, or by car. But beneath the surface is a world of sex, intimidation, and crime. This month, WGBH Radio investigates the underground trade of human trafficking. Tuesday, we started in Wellesley, where an alleged prostitution ring was busted. Then we started to outline the human trafficking trail from Asia to New York to New England.
These are well-funded, well-functioning, well-trained organizations that are responsible for exploiting and bringing these people to the United States.
WGBH Radio's Philip Martin picks up the story by connecting the dots and hearing from a woman trapped as a prostitute in this underground trade.
Without ever knowing it, you've driven the same routes, passed the same landmarks, and used the same rest stops as today's human trafficking networks that operate from New York to New England.
There is some sort of route.
Sergeant Donna Gavin heads up the Boston Police Department's human trafficking unit.
We have had cases where women were brought down from New York into Boston, stayed for a couple of weeks, and then were moved to other areas.
As investigators try to connect the dots geographically, the flow of people in this underground trade, they know that to really make a dent, they have to understand the organizational chart. Who's orchestrating this trafficking network from New York to New England? Sergeant Donna Gavin.
It's definitely a syndicate. It's a criminal enterprise. There are several people usually involved, whether it's drivers, you know, people that keep the women in line.
People like Don Kai Chin of Massachusetts. He pleaded guilty in federal court in 2011 to conspiracy to transport Asian women from New York along interstate highways for the purpose of prostitution. Carmen Ortiz is the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts who's tracking the movement of this and other human trafficking syndicates based in Queens.
They have different areas in the cities that they transfer these women through and that they go from one city to the other where they basically prostitute these women. And so, you know, they may be in Boston or Quincy or some other area here in Massachusetts and then move on to New York to keep it moving and also to keep it from getting disclosed.
They have networks throughout the East Coast along the 95 corridor or, that bring them to other cities, but it's the natural starting point.
Jimmy Lee is a modern-day abolitionist. As the executive director of Restore, his New York-based nonprofit helps hundreds of women, all victims of human trafficking. Queens is the apex.
There are actually vans that pick up women from Flushing every morning and take them out to Long Island. And even in speaking with a partner we have in the Boston area, she told me recently that, yeah, a number of the women that they get are actually from New York City.
This connection, this New York to Boston underground trade, has led to deep collaboration among law enforcers. That's why attorney generals in the six New England states are sharing intelligence on human trafficking. Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley.
We've talked in our own region about the needs to, whether we look at New Hampshire or Connecticut, how we can share information. Where are the trains of women that are going up and down the East Coast? How does that operate?
Here's what I found out. I met a woman whose story typifies what happens to many immigrant women searching for a better life, yet deceived into the sex trade. After scraping together $6,000 for a ticket, she flew from Guangxi, China to JFK, where she imagined a city of opportunity.
Skyscrapers and the Statue of Liberty. After I got to New York, I wanted to find a job, so people told me, read the newspaper and then you'll find a job. So I responded to an ad in the newspaper and got a job in a massage parlor. At the time, I thought it was just massages, and I didn't think anything of it. And the boss basically told me I needed to give them my passport so I wouldn't run away with their money.
So she gave her boss her passport. We agreed not to identify her out of fear for her safety.
So the boss put me in a car and drove me to somewhere, and I had no idea where I was going. And after I got there, they forced me to do sex work. And I had no idea that's what they wanted me to do. And there were other women like me who just came to this country that didn't know what to do in those circumstances. Because the boss told me you can't report it to the police. If you report it to the police, they're going to put you in prison. And that's what I believed. And then later I found out that a lot of women who worked in the massage parlor got robbed, got raped, because we simply don't know anything.
She also doesn't recall everything, as is true for many victims of trauma. What she remembers is a terrifying trip from New York along a U.S. highway heading somewhere unknown.
There were two other women in the car with me, so they dropped off one woman in one city. Until this day, I don't know which city.
She was arrested when Baltimore police raided a massage parlor where she was working. It didn't take long for police to recognize that this was a case of human trafficking. Today, she's living in a safe house with help from the New York Asian Women's Center. Investigators say this story is repeated over and over. Women looking for a better life, flying in from Asia and Eastern Europe. But why is Queens such a focal point? Here's Jimmy Lee of Restore, the group that helps trafficked women.
Just having such a heavy concentration of Chinese, not only recent immigrants, but Chinese who have been here a long time, Koreans who have been here multiple generations, just means that you don't look out of place. If someone told you you were in mainland China or Korea or an Asian city, you could believe them.
If anyone knows Queens, it's this guy. He's a limo driver. We'll call him Jim.
It's a town car. Well, no, people get in the car and they'll say, we're in the cab now. And I'll go, listen, this job's demeaning enough. But, you know, look, I don't really like driving, but I like watching my kids eat.
Now I'm riding with Jim as we pass a row of massage parlors in Queens. He's looking for his wife. That's right, his wife, who migrated from Thailand 8 years ago. Today, she works as a prostitute. A life he thought she had left behind.
I don't know what it is, but she disappears for days on end. Yesterday, she was knocked out with the drugs and all that, and she got up around 1 o'clock. I drove her to the train station, and she didn't come back until 4 in the morning. Now, she might have had a date. I mean, she was definitely working as a prostitute last night. She got arrested at one of these massage parlors in February of 2008. And a lot of people, when they hear this, say, that's all she knows.
But how did it get to this point? Her story is yet another path of the underground trade that lands in New York. This route starts in Thailand, where she was a bar girl forced into a life of prostitution, allegedly to pay off a family debt to a criminal gang. Even knowing this, Jim took his new wife to Queens, looking for a better life.
She thinks that I deceived her. She blames me for the fact that she's a prostitute because I'm not rich. Basically saying that she wouldn't have to revert to this, that it's my fault.
Now, Jim is by no means a saint. He met his wife while traveling on a sex tour of Thailand. Sex tourism and how it impacts the underground trade, how it feeds human trafficking. Next. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
Philip's series, Underground Trade, continues next Tuesday. Between now and then, we'd like to hear your feedback. Go to our website, wgbhnews.org. Listen to the first two segments and leave a comment. This series is part of our collaboration with the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University and the International Center for Journalists. This program is made possible thanks to you.